This was something entirely different. "Try," he said. I pressed a button and the phone started downloading something. "Wait, is this a ringtone?" I asked. "Am I on the internet?" On the screen, I moved the cursor down to the link and pressed enter. As I did, all the noise and all that information diffused into decipherable nodes of data. I could hear the signals talking. This phone in my hand was an experiment on the fringe, a clever hack. I shifted my thought to networks of phones all connecting to the internet, to websites, to the Shinkansen train schedule. Another signal. If we could receive information, we would necessarily give out our information too, passively and directly. We would buy train tickets right from our phones. Network operators would know details about us, what we clicked on, what we downloaded. Service providers would earn revenue based on our usage. They would have incentives to provide more bandwidth and faster speeds. Another signal. I started thinking about all the other early research I'd been hearing about. Japan was on the brink of a much faster mobile network that would allow for more people to connect at once. Increased capacity also meant higher speeds, and for the first time, the ability to send files to other devices. Another signal. Digital cameras were getting smaller. An engineering professor at Dartmouth was at work on an active pixel image sensor, something so tiny it could be embedded into a pen. Two Japanese companies, Sharp and Kyocera, were trying to put image sensors into their phones. Teenagers had become obsessed with Perikarabu photo vending machines. They regularly visited with friends, posing for photos of themselves. They'd use an interactive screen to decorate the photos with different backdrops and doodles before printing them out as stickers. I listened as the signals connected me to adjacent nodes. I knew of others who were experimenting with tangentially related projects. A startup in New York City had successfully wrested electronic mail, email for short, from university researchers and turned it commercial. For the first time, everyday people were getting online, transfixed by this new medium and excited about sending fast, short messages between computers within just a few seconds. Commercial email networks were starting to boom, unable to meet demand. At the same time, consumer behavior had started to shift. People expected and received faster communication. They created digital identities with vanity email addresses. They had access to a reply all command, a futuristic megaphone that broadcast their messages to large, engaged audiences. And then there was the group of mad scientists out in Sunnyvale, California, engineers who'd created the first car-based GPS in the early 1980s. Nothing remotely similar had existed until that point, so they had to borrow an ancient Polynesian term to name the thing they'd built. They called it the Itak Navigator, Polynesian for a set of moving navigational points. It was so far ahead of its time that its value meant little, if anything, to the average consumer. I remembered reading an old issue of Inc. magazine where the founder of Itak explained his bigger vision. Let's say you're in your car and you want to go to dinner. You've got this box on the dash. You punch in Japanese, then cheap, then good sushi. The box takes over and guides you to a place. The Itak never made its way into our cars, but standing there, holding this black mobile phone in the middle of Akihabara, I could imagine a future version of myself using an adapted form of that fringe technology. I'd punch in good sushi and text my hacker friend the GPS coordinates of where to meet me. Rather than carrying around a camera so that I could take photos, get them developed, and send them through the mail back to the United States, I'd make a video phone call to my parents and share my sushi dinner with them in real time. Suddenly, I realized I wasn't lost at all. I heard the signals talking, and they were telling me how this experimental phone from the fringe would eventually end.